Okay, welcome everyone to the Deep Dive. Today we're really getting into the mind of a K-pop legend. We're looking at an interview from The Hollywood Reporter with Key from SHINee.
SHINee, I mean, they debuted way back in 2008. That's like several generations in K-pop time. And Key himself, he's known for so much, right? Music, variety, fashion, but also just being really thoughtful about it all.
Absolutely. So what we want to do today is sort of unpack what he shared in this conversation, thinking about, you know, how do you sustain a K-pop career into your 30s? That wasn't always the expected path.
Mm-hmm.
And how he sees the whole global music scene changing and what that means for being an artist today.
Yeah. And there's some really interesting stuff in there, like how his career actually blossomed after what people might think of as the peak K-pop years. Mm-hmm. And this feeling of like freedom he has now as an artist. It's pretty cool.
Okay, so let's maybe start with that longevity piece.
Yeah.
Key's 33, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is 34 in Korean age.
Right, the Korean age thing. You're one at birth, at a year on New Year's. So yeah, usually a year or two older.
And he's talking about being an active idol in his 30s. That's where it gets really interesting, I think.
Well, yeah, because he says himself, when he was younger, he uses the phrase NCT's age, you know, that younger cohort. He honestly couldn't really picture himself doing this, like, right now at 33.
Right.
He'd heard from older artists back then, like his seniors, that it was just incredibly tough to last that long, especially staying in a group.
Yeah, because the whole K-pop system, historically, it's been built around intense training, pretty short initial contracts often, and just this rapid cycle of new groups. The story was always kind of your prime is your late teens, early 20s.
Exactly. But Key's experience just, well, it challenges that directly. He says, and this is a quote, "A lot of good things happened to my own career that I couldn't imagine when he was younger."
Wow.
And here's the real kicker. He says, "Everything happened after I was 30 years old."
Everything. So that whole idea that the peak has to be in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying for him, the big stuff, the good stuff came later.
Seems like it. I mean, what could those good things be? If you look at his career, post 30, huge solo success, right? Much more visibility on variety shows where you see more of him.
Yeah, his personality really shines there.
Maybe more creative control, input into his music. Those are things that sometimes open up as artists get more established. But he's framing it like these weren't just extras. It was everything significant happening after 30.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of suggests just sticking with it can open up whole new chapters, not just, you know, stretch out the old one.
And it wasn't like some grand strategy either. He makes a point of saying he didn't plan for this specific kind of long run. He just kept doing his thing, sincerely and with my heart, as he puts it. The key was just he didn't quit.
Right. Just that decision, sticking it out, working authentically, it led him somewhere unexpected. And now because he's still here doing well in his 30s, now he feels like he actually can look ahead and plan for the next 10 years.
And he wants this to be seen, right? He says he wants to show to my junior artists, you guys can do this too. Like have these long, fulfilling careers doing what they love way past the age people used to think was the limit.
Yeah, that's a really powerful message for younger idols, a different kind of possibility. And, you know, this connects really well to his thoughts on the global music scene, because he's been around long enough to see these huge shifts firsthand, shifts that maybe make this kind of longevity more possible or at least more creatively interesting.
Yeah, that's true. He talks about K-pop starting to get traction in the U.S., what, maybe 15, 16 years ago?
Hmm.
And at first, he thought it might just be a phase, like a syndrome or kind of niche. He compared it to dedicated anime music fans.
Which he admits he is one too, humorously.
Ah, right.
But then maybe the last 5 or 6 years it just completely blew up.
Mm.
Mainstream, everywhere. And that shift makes him ask this fundamental question like, what's K-pop and what's American pop? What does it mean anymore?
Exactly. That question gets to the heart of it, these dissolving boundaries. He sees the current generation of listeners, and for them, where the music comes from, it just doesn't seem to matter as much.
Mm-hmm.
His example was people dancing to a Vietnamese song they found on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, it's just about the vibe.
Exactly. He says whether he sings in Korean, Japanese, English doesn't matter now. The origin, the language, those walls are just way lower for a lot of people today.
And that's what he finds more freeing as an artist, that specific change. He contrasts it with the past, like if you didn't get the lyrics, maybe you just dismiss the song.
Right. But now it seems more about the feel, the performance, the whole artistic package, you know, not just the words. And he genuinely feels more free even now than before as an artist because of this borderless sort of genre blurring thing happening globally.
It lets the artist's intent shine through more, maybe less constrained by market boxes.
Yeah, I think so.
And speaking of freedom, This seems tied into how he views artistic identity too, which I thought was really fascinating. He juggles so many roles, right? Chini member, solo artist, TV personality.
Yeah, he uses this funny analogy like everyone has their own 12 identities or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke, obviously, but the point is serious. We all have different versions of ourselves, don't we? At work, with family, friends.
Totally.
And he just applies that directly to his public and private life. He doesn't feel like he has to be just one thing.
Right, like on a variety show, he feels like a comedian. He mentions Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm. And then on stage, he's a pop star, thinking of Michael Jackson. For a photo shoot, he's a model.
And he knows he has different sides in private life, too. Sometimes shy, maybe sometimes difficult.
The point is, they're not contradictions. They're just different parts of him.
Which leads him to this really liberating idea. He doesn't stress over that question, who am I? What kind of artist is key?
Right. His answer is just so simple and powerful. There's a lot of me.
That feels like a big statement in an industry that often wants artists to have this single super-managed image.
Yeah, it really does. He's basically saying it's okay to be complex, it's maybe even more real, and possibly more sustainable creatively in the long run.
And this acceptance of multiple identities, it's kind of made possible by that genre fluidity he talked about earlier, isn't it?
Exactly. He calls it one of the good things of K-pop, that there's no genre.
Meaning K-pop itself isn't locked into one sound.
Yeah, you can mix everything, all the cultures, all the genres, and all the videos into one album. That built-in creative freedom lets an artist like Key, who feels he has a lot of me inside, express all those different sides through the music itself.
It gives him options. Like, even if he doesn't have a set plan for the next song, he can pull from different places, react to the current environment and vibes.
Mm-hmm. He even talked a bit about his recent music, wanting something maybe stronger next time after Pleasure Shop felt a bit mild compared to the energy of, say, Gasoline.
So that's him navigating his own creative path within that flexible space.
Exactly. So, okay, bringing this back to you, the listener, what can we take away from Key's perspective here? His whole journey, it really pushes back against some old ideas about timelines and boxes in music, especially K-pop.
Yeah, that idea that talent and just sticking with it, sincerely doing your thing, can genuinely lead to big opportunities well into your 30s, maybe even chances you couldn't have dreamed of earlier. That's pretty inspiring, I think.
For sure. And this global shift, where it's more about the art itself than where it comes from or what language it's in, Key feels that directly as creative freedom. And for us as listeners, it just means there's this incredible wider pool of music to discover from everywhere.
Plus his whole take on identity, that it's okay, maybe even good, to have these different sides to yourself personally and creatively. It feels like permission for all of us, you know, to explore different things without feeling we need to fit into one neat category.
Yeah, end of the day, he really brings it back to basics. Keep going and do it sincerely, with heart. That approach, mixed with how the world is changing, seems to be what opened doors for him.
So here's something to think about. If the music world is becoming more fluid, more accepting of different kinds of expression, longer careers, how might that change things for artists who are just starting out right now?
Yeah, and maybe even broader. What could it mean for how we all find, listen to, and connect with music in the future?